Good afternoon, Audio Boo. It's a very sunny day here in Orpington, Kent, but it's very windy, so it's not exactly sitting outside weather, so I'm not. Well, I might do later. I just wanted to talk a bit in response to Blind Equestrian about guide dogs spending on walks. Now, my dog won't leash relieve at all, but I've been very lucky with him. He has a concrete run in which to spend. It's an old guide dog run we've had for years. I don't think they give them out anymore. We were lucky. We needed it for one of our other dogs that used to play up on walks. So when I first had this dog, actually, the run was on grass. And I've only just recently, in the last 6 months, moved it onto concrete. Because I've lived in three houses since I've had him. And all of them, the run was on grass. I didn't think I'd ever be able to get him to spend back on concrete again, but he does. He's a very good dog like that. He's always been clean on walks. I think I've had, in the 4.5 years I've had him, 2 walks when he spent, and I think there was one when I was doing aftercare. He'd never had I don't know what the opposite of a clean walk is. That's what they call it. Is it an unclean walk or a dirty walk? I'm not sure. He'd never had one at all in training. The thing is with him, he won't leash relieve at all. So if he needs to spend on a walk, we do actually have real issues with it. Although he's only ever spent twice on a walk, and I'm talking about number two here, there have been times when he needed to go, but he has this thing that he has to get home to do it, if he can. But the trouble with him is, if he really needs to spend, I mean, this hasn't happened for several years. I think it happened when I first moved in here, and I've been here 3 years in August. I remember walking into town one day, and he needed to spend on the way home. And he keeps stopping, and he won't go. He won't go in the gutter, and he won't spend. When he does it in the end, he'll just do it on the pavement, which isn't very good, but what can you do as long as you clear it up or try to or be seen to try to? On this occasion, he didn't end up spending on the walk. He just managed to get home. But it's a real palaver for me to get him home because he's not concentrating on his work. And that's my issue with spending. It's not that I have a problem with the dog spending if they just get on and do it. It's when it really mucks up their work, and it can do. With him, I'm lucky it didn't. Now, my last dog was a small yellow lab. She was only weighed 23 kilos. She was very goey, as they called her. And I think she spent on one walk when I had her. She worked for 8.5 years. She spent on one walk, and that was because she had an upset stomach. And it was actually, unfortunately, just inside the school gates as we were just coming out. But I did have a bag on me, so I was able to clean it up. That was a bit unfortunate because sometimes they just can't help it, you know. Anyway, the dog I had before her, I'm afraid he did have to go back because of spending issues with him, and I just couldn't cope. I did a matching walk with him, and he was fine. And then I had to ring them up and speak to my GDMI a couple of weeks before the class started, and I said, "Oh, how are things going?" He said, he was a Spanish chap, one of the ones they had on secondment from Spain. This was back in 1998. He said, "Oh, don't ask." And I said, "Oh, why is that?" And he said, "I'm having terrible problems with him spending. He doesn't like spending in the run. And then he wants to go out. He wants to go on walks." Now, I've had a few dogs, and that was the worst class I've ever had because of his spending issue. He would spend a lot of time on the walks wanting to spend and going really slowly, not working properly. You put him in the gutter, he gets back up on the pavement. It was extremely frustrating. I did qualify with him in the normal time, and we came. I only did 2 weeks training at the centre because I had a baby. He was only 13 months old, and that was a very difficult class because he actually got chicken pox while I was away, and I was very distressed. My other child was coming up for 6, and I was very distressed to leave 2 such young children. And, you know, I had a good class with the people, were great and that, and we had some good laughs, but behind the scenes I used to cry in my room because I was homesick and I missed the kids and I was worried about them, and they were fine, but especially when my little one got ill. But anyway, I came home with this dog. He was a lovely dog. He was a lab cross retriever. He was a big dog. think he was probably bigger than the one I've got now. He's about 72 pound, 73 pound. He was a bit bigger than that. He was longer. My dog's very tall, but he's not that long. But this one was a really long. He was a really gorgeous dog. He used to get up and put his paws around your neck like he was cuddling you and put his head on your shoulder. I mean, I loved him. But the thing was, when I got home with him, his work improved dramatically. He, you know, I had to tow a pram back in those days. It was fitted around my waist with a belt, and he had been tested out with it before I had him to make sure that he could work with, you know, not be upset by something trundling along behind. His work improved 100% when I got home. He didn't do all the stopping and going in the gutter and all that business at all. Maybe part of it was boredom on class, I don't know. But he worked fine for me, and I had him for 2.5 years. But the issue... noisy motorbike going past. The issue I had with him and the spending was that I had a young child. I had to get to school. The other one was, well, he was a baby when I first had him, but he was 3 by the time he went back. And I had to get out of the house by a certain time. Now, my dog wouldn't spend in the run. And then, so we got out the door. He was a very good dog. And what did I do with him? I used to make him sit on the grass in the front garden while I got my pram down the steps. I had steps down from my front door to the street. There was about 6 or 7 of them, and they weren't evenly spaced, and there was a drop on either side. It was quite tricky. And I got the buggy down, and then I would call him, and he was very good. He'd come straight to me. And when we came home, I would make him sit at the gate while I got the buggy up, and then I'd call him, and he was very obedient. But the trouble with him was, as soon as we started to walk down the road, we were on a split-level pavement. I used to walk along the top footpath, but there was a lower footpath by the road, and there was a bank in between with intermittent steps going down so you could walk on the bottom if you want without walking down the bank. And he would dive onto the bank to spend in this more or less the same place every day. And our road was like a roller coaster. You walked up a hill, you went down a hill. It was up, down, up, down. It was actually quite a dangerous road. Because when the cars come up too fast, they can't see what's over the top of the hill. But for walking, it was okay, except that if I had to stop and pick up poo, then I had to park my baby's buggy and unbelt myself. And I couldn't 100% want to trust the brakes on it, because I have had instances where it wasn't this particular buggy, it was another one, but had the brakes had been put on but they didn't lock properly or something, and he did roll away several times, but luckily his older brother managed to catch him. But I wasn't comfortable with doing that every day, and it became so laborious, and you know, I just couldn't be dealing with it. So what Guy Dog suggested, this is, we had a run built in the garden. We'd had it with previous dogs because my ex-husband was a Guy Dog owner as well. They actually gave us this one, this the run I've got now, and we put it on the grass up, because our garden was in 3 sections. There was a yard at the bottom, there was a middle part fenced off where I used to let the kids play, and there was a rough bit at the top where the shed was, where, well, no, it had a gate into it, no one really went, the kids could go up there if they wanted, but once the run went up there, obviously, they couldn't. So we put that up there. And at first I thought, oh, great, he went on it because it was grass. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And then, but he just, I don't know what it was. I think after a couple of days, he stopped going in there as well. And I think what it was, he was one of these dogs that needed stimulation to get his bowels moving. So probably it wasn't anything to do with where I was putting him to spend. It was probably more the fact that he needed time, and he felt pressurised by me, and I was pressurised because I had to get them to school by a certain time. I had to leave by about 8:20 in the morning to walk to school. It was about 3/4 of a mile. I mean, I know that's not far, but when you've got, you know, young kids, there's always some issue, you know, one of them might fall over or they drop their book bag or we forgot something, you know what I mean? You have to allow plenty of time, as I'm sure people can appreciate, who've got kids or young nephews or nieces or whatever. So the issue with him was, I think, that he needed the exercise. Now, if I had just been me on my own and going to work with the dog, I'm sure I wouldn't have minded picking up his poo, because I wouldn't have had kids and a pram and a time. Well, I might have had the time schedule, but I might have been able to walk him down the road and bring him back. But the thing is, I couldn't do that because my husband had already left for work. He used to leave about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And I couldn't get all the kids out the door, the pram down the steps, take him for a walk and bring it all back, come back in and take it all out again. And they were too young to leave on their own, if you can understand it. So it really was an issue. And I did really try with him. But in the end, I found myself not being able to face this every day. So I started leaving the dog at home and I thought, well, hold on a minute. I'd take him other times, but until he'd done that first spend in the morning, when I went to school with the kids, I'd leave him behind and walk with my friend. And I thought, well, you know, I've got a guide dog to be independent. What's the point? So after a lot of discussion with guide dogs, I reluctantly let him go back. And I was very upset. And the trainer didn't blame me. He said he knew the dog had these issues before I had him. And it was actually my GDMI that came to pick him up from me. And I didn't have to wait long. I only waited 6 weeks before they let me know about my next dog. And the nice thing was he did actually qualify again because he was only about four. He qualified again with an older lady who had a great big garden where she could just let him out. She only went on one walk a day, so it didn't really matter what time of day she went. She just used to go to the shops with him. And the funny thing was that I did 2 weeks with my new dog at the centre and then 2 weeks at home with a different instructor. And he used to come to me in the mornings to train me in the mornings and then go to this other lady because she lived not that far away. I never heard any more. I saw her name in forward with him. But I never actually heard any more about him after that. I presume he went on to have a happy working life and she'd kept her retired dog, so he had company because he did like playing with other dogs. And she had a daughter that came round to keep the garden clean. And I did hear in training that my dog had pinched a bar of chocolate in the shop. And I said, well, he never did anything like that with me. He didn't. He was a bit of a goody-goody like that. But anyway, one of the really nice things was when I qualified with my new dog at the centre after 2 weeks, the person who qualified me, who was kind of the head of the place at the time, Bryony, I don't know if anybody will remember her, Bryony Islet, she congratulated me on keeping my other dog's work up to standard because it meant that he didn't need any extra training and he could just go out to somebody else. And that meant a lot to me because I felt like I hadn't failed with him. I might have failed. Our partnership might not have worked out because of the spending issue, but I hadn't mucked his work up or mucked his, dented his courage or made him not want to work or anything like that. He still was, you know, I'd kept his work up to scratch, and it was nice to hear that. She said, thank you very much for doing that. It made our job much easier to match him again, because I suppose they do get some dogs that come back that have got picked up really awful habits, and I do work my dog, as I've said before, to the book, so I suppose that's what another thing that made it easier for them. So I was really pleased to hear that. I didn't ruin a guide dog. He just didn't fit in with my lifestyle, and it wasn't anybody's fault, and it couldn't have really been foreseen because the issue didn't start until we'd been matched. And I suppose the GDMI just thought it was one of those things that would work itself out in time, because they usually do. And as I say, I wouldn't have minded him spending on the walks if it had just been me and him. And I didn't have all the other stuff in tow. And that did make getting around quite difficult. It was quite difficult enough, to be honest, without that extra pressure. The other thing is, I didn't know what to do with the bag. Where do I put it to go to the school? I didn't really want to take a bag of poo in the school. You know, you have to think of all these things. And it was very difficult. And as I say, I did really give it a fair crack at the whip. I did really try with him. And I was very sorry to let him go. And at the same time, my ex-husband, also had a dog that wasn't suitable for him for completely different reasons. Now, I have heard of husband and wife doing this once before, a couple in Wales, and I wish they could have done this for me and him. But the thing is, because of the spending issue, I don't know if it would have worked out any better for him, because he was working in London at the time, and he did have plenty of opportunity to put the dog on grass and that, and obviously he didn't have kids in tow on the way to walk into the station. But he had a small excuse me, a small a little dog. She was a small dog, a black. She was black and tan, actually. She had tan legs, but she was a lab retriever cross. You get a couple. You get some of those sometimes. I've come across others like that. And I loved this little dog. I really did. And he only had her for 4 months because she was, I mean, that was really like a mismatch because she was too nervous working in London. She was really nervous, and he said he didn't feel safe with her because she was small. I mean, she wasn't as small as my little lab that was 23 kilos, but she was small for him, really, because he's quite tall. And he said he just didn't feel safe with her. She was too jittery in London. But she would have suited me. I wish we could have swapped, and I don't know why we never really thought about it at the time. I would have loved to have had her, and she did go to a lady who lived down on the coast somewhere after he had her. So again, she did requalify. I would have loved that little dog. But in the time between her going back, which was about a year and a half after I'd qualified with my dog, and I was still having problems with him, you know, and I thought him going back was probably on the cards. My husband was waiting for his next dog, and he had to wait about 7 months, and he got a lovely golden retriever. He was a big dog as well. And if he wanted to go out for a walk, I used to let him take my guide dog out for a walk on the lead. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, but, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't do any harm. It didn't make anything worse for me, and it didn't improve anything either. But it it meant that he obviously didn't work the dog, but he took his cane, but he walked with him, and he still continued to go out. I mean, obviously he got access to work, taxis to work, because he's okay with the cane. But, you know, no one really wants to go back to that if they don't have to, and especially in London. So but I'd let him occasionally walk my dog to the co-op, and they did let him in there. Because technically they could have refused him because he wasn't my husband's dog, but they never did because they, you know, we know them all in there. Even now I still know them, and they still going about. They can't believe my kids are so grown up, and they remember when I had him in a buggy and all this. And so he did a good turn on his days when he wasn't working with me. I let my husband just take him out on the lead and with his cane, and it just gave him a bit of confidence to walk with his cane, really, and have a dog one side and the cane the other, and the dog didn't really guide him. I don't know, he might have done a little bit, you know, like they do. He walked slightly ahead of him, and it just gave him confidence. So he was thankful for him as well in the time that he was, you know, it meant that he wasn't totally helpless, and it wasn't all reliant on me going to the shop when we needed something, when I've got to get the kids to bed and do the dinner and all that sort of stuff. So he could just pop up to the co-op if we ran out of milk or whatever. And he could do it more quickly and efficiently with my dog, but not in harness. I hasten to add, I would never allow anyone to do that. I have known couples that do that. When the woman, she kept her dog when it retired, and obviously she couldn't, it wasn't on harness, so she used to take her husband's dog out because he hardly ever went out with it. And I don't agree with that at all, unless guide dogs can, you know, have sanctioned it. And I know there are couples that do share a dog, and that's, if that's been qualified by guide dogs and sanctioned by them, that's fine. That's their business. But this hadn't been, and I would never do that. But you know, there's nothing wrong with someone else taking him out for a walk on a lead, because he could have been, you know, I could have been ill, and he could have been taken out. So it's not like we did break any rules, because we didn't. But anyway, that's why I don't really like to have a dog that's got spending issues, because I've had a bad experience with it. And as I say, if they just got straight on, plonked down and did it, like I know some dogs do, then I wouldn't have a problem with picking it up at all now. I mean, I'm free. I haven't got little kids to hold their hands and all that stuff. And that's fine. But it's just when it affects their work like that. And, you know, if I didn't let him spend on the bank in the mornings, you could guarantee we would have a terrible battle on our hands to get anywhere. He would be going, trying to come across me all the time to go on the bank. He would be going really slowly, refusing to go, and it was all very frustrating. And, you know, once he'd been, that time, the first time in the morning, his work was fine. It was, you know, it was fantastic. He coped very well with the buggy and everything, and with my younger child holding on to my hand as well. Well, I'm sorry, my older child holding my hand. So, you know, he did do very well in some ways. It's just that's my two penneth on spending. As you can hear, my little cats come round to say hello. Okay, speak soon, everyone.